seen anything like that.
I'm a very confident front runner. I've caddied for 33 years, 145 wins now, and that's the best win I've ever had.
I have no idea what you have.
I don't know. How are we going to count all the shots? I can't keep track.
Fuck! God damn it.
I don't think he's pleased.
Of course you would. That's a particularly stupid question. It's the Irish Open. Of course you want to play at the weekend.
Hello, you're welcome along to Golf Weekly. Excitement is at fever pitch. We have Rory McIlroy, who has played his first round of the day and done it very, very well with a 65 in Dubai. And this evening, Tiger, he's back. He's properly back. He's at Torrey Pines. It's the PGA Tour. I could not be happier, including because, not least, because Fionn Davenport is also here in person.
Gentlemen.
How are you?
Thank you.
You look magnificent.
Oh, thanks.
I would think magnificent.
If I looked that in 14 years, I'd be delighted.
Indeed. Indeed. 50 in April, lads. 50.
Woo! You're the most sickening looking 50-year-old.
And I'm running at the moment. That's why.
No, you always look good. Even last year.
You're going to be 50 in April.
Yeah.
Should treat yourself to a little trip to, you know, something big that happens in April.
Yeah, golfing related maybe.
Is there something maybe southern states of the United States?
Might be. Even last year when you weren't running, I thought you looked incredibly well from your age.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. It's just jeans.
How much running are you doing?
It's not impressive. I went from like couch potato stuff to I'm running 3K four times a week.
Oh, yeah, that's not
the idea is I want...
That's what we're going to say.
I'm doing
the New York Marathon next month.
No, I'm trying to build up. I don't really think
you can come on and say I'm a runner.
No, I didn't.
I'm running.
Yeah. I want to do the Manchester 10K at my 50th. So it's like a few weeks after my 50th. So I'm just training for that. Like, it's not a big deal. But
no,
like,
it's not. You look better.
You're 30 years old or what? I don't know how old you are.
You look better for your age than you run for your age.
That's definitely true.
Well, you would definitely... not look at the two of you and think there's a 20 year age gap.
No.
But
stop. Not a close up.
Talk to me in 2 months.
You know, I mean, I think I look about 42. You look about 44. There's probably about 2 years between us to the naked eye.
Right. Leave me out of it.
And Nathan Murphy, what age are you?
36.
Are you 36? 36. But you have two kids, so that's a whole other.
The aging process.
I would say you look 30 to 32.
All right, enough.
Nathan. No. Oh, that's a compliment.
Yeah, I know it is.
Thanks.
Anyway, what age does Tiger Woods look with his hat on and then with his hat off?
Clearly, with the hat on, he looks good. With his hat off, he looks like he's 55.
It does. I mean, it's incredible. It's like it takes all his power away. He becomes an old man.
It's Samson, isn't it?
It's like Clark Kent. And
the hat on, though, it could still be Tiger 20 years ago.
Samson and his hair. Sure, Clark Kent and his glasses. Absolutely. Wow. Why not?
This is what you bring a touch of class
to
proceedings, which I don't really have. That was the extent of my culture. So we'll talk Tiger and we'll talk Rory. We'll hear from the both. You've dug some audio out of both.
No, Fionn did all the hard work.
Okay, who have we got? Rory coming up?
Yeah.
Okay, after his round today. A 65 in Dubai.
Rory and Tiger.
Okay, tweets first. People are excited. Danny Finnan. Tiger's back. Rory's injury free. Fleetwood, Sergio, Ram with wins already. Ryder Cup in September. US Open in Shinnecock. Three players who could potentially win career Grand Slams. The only thing that's wrong with golf in 2018 is my handicap. This year will be savage. # friend of the pod. That's a very exciting summation of the year from Danny Finnan.
For sure.
I hadn't really looked at it in those terms.
Yeah, he's right. But.
There is a huge but, isn't there?
We're still, 3 months away from the Masters. I sort of feel this happens every year, that the week leading into the Masters is about six of the world's best players are in the form of their life.
Yeah, it's also,
and then Danny Willett wins.
Yeah, but it's also worth pointing out is like, and obviously that was one of the big headlines was, oh my God, three European Ryder Cup players won this week. But they're always going to win. And they're going to do well at the Ryder Cup regardless. It's the other 12 member or whatever, nine players on the team that you have to worry about. So before we kind of start handing the trophy back to Europe, we have to make sure that the team is deeper than just Ram, Garcia and Rory.
Before we finish with tweets and get into analysis of Rory's round and some thoughts on Tiger, John Ram is worth mentioning because, I mean, this guy has started the season unbelievably well. He's now number two in the world. He's got his first PGA Tour win of the year.
It was unbelievable.
Didn't see much. Watching the Patriots, Fionn.
Were you?
Yeah.
I foolishly did that thing where with four holes left, it was like, Ram is this one. I just go to bed. Sort of forgot about it on midday on Monday. Looked down and I'm like, there was a five-hole playoff.
So what happened to him?
What happened to him?
To Ram? Well, no, he did well. Like, it's just Landry sank a corker on 18 to force the playoff. So Andrew Landry, player I'd never heard of. Now, the playoff was exciting by virtue of the fact that it was the worst putting display by two players for four holes. And they played the 18th.
Ram's an excellent putter.
He is an excellent putter. And he admits, he goes, yeah, I didn't put so great. But yeah. What happened was they all had similar. So Ram had the similar putt that he had on 18 three different times. And he missed it right, left, and then right again. And then the fourth time he played it, he hit it to the other side of the hole and sank the putt for a really nice birdie. But, I mean, there was no, like, that's not a criticism. Oh. It's just maybe it's nerves, your first play, your first PGA, you're coming within touching distance of your PGA event win for the year, whatever. But he was awesome. Like, okay. And the thing is, do you notice with Ram is that he hits the ball like King Kong, but he has this truncated swing.
Yeah.
And you're looking at him and you're going, like, if he unleashed, how much further, how much bigger, how much more dominant could he be? Mm. Like, he seems to play completely within himself. And he's got every facet of the game. Now, obviously, I made a point about his putting, but he is an excellent putter. Mm. He's got an amazing short game for a guy his size.
Touch of the savvy about him.
Absolutely. So, like, are we looking at a player that could end up, dare I say, dominating golf?
Well, he's up to world number two. The world golf rankings at the moment are Dustin Johnson, followed by John Rahm, followed by Jordan Spieth, and then it's disappeared at me.
Justin Thomas is number four, I think.
Is he? And then Matsuyama is absolutely number five. Yeah, how many here? Justin Thomas, four. Matsuyama's five. Justin Rose is six. So they're your top five or six.
Yeah, Justin Rose has had a very good end of year in 2017. Rahm is world number two. He's in his early 20s and he's played about 35 tournaments as a professional.
Yeah.
He's racked them up.
His swing is pretty remarkable. We spoke about it last year at the Irish Open when he was paired with McIlroy and Matsuyama, how the top three of the top players in the world can have three such different swings.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a little sweep, but the power he gets is...
Oh, it was something to watch in person. And it's this baby fade. I mean, he's not even trying to draw the ball. No, he's baby fading it around.
But he can move it both ways.
Yeah.
The comment that I saw afterwards where he was saying, I didn't putt great this week by any means, but luckily enough, I was hitting it so well that anything inside 10 feet, I was doing okay. But he was hitting everything. I mean, he reminds me of Rory a few years ago when Rory was so dialed in, like, where he didn't need to make long putts. But everything was like 5-6 feet and he was just sinking everything.
Yeah.
But like, when you look at this time last year, he was 137th in the world.
It's meteoric.
Yeah.
So he beat Andrew Landry. It was a 12-foot birdie in the end. So that's the fourth hole of the playoff in the Career Builder Challenge. That's his second win on the PGA Tour.
Mm. Yeah, he won the tournament that's on this week last year. And obviously he can win in any type of course, considering he won up in Port Stewart as well. Just to mention on Andrew Landry, now it didn't happen in the end, but Justin Ray had, we were talking about it outside, a remarkable stat around Andrew Landry. He hadn't had a bogey for the first three holes. First three days.
Wow. I've done that. I've done that once.
Yeah. I think I might have done it once, yeah. First 3 days. Uh-huh. When was the last time a player won a PGA tournament without bogeying a hole?
Great question. I don't know. I know time is of the essence here, so I'm not going to
1974.
Wow. Really?
See, that surprises me.
Jack, I would have thought it was a fairly regular.
Jack.
No. Did I say Tony Jacklin?
No, Lee Trevino.
Lee Trevino.
But we were saying outside.
Where was that?
Does it matter?
On a golf course.
On a golf course. But Nathan and I were saying outside, and you made the point, Nathan, that you think, okay, it's obviously it's a great accomplishment, but you think it wouldn't be that rare. Mm. Like, you think Tiger would have done it.
Yeah.
Like, of all the records that Tiger has.
I just presumed it would be Tiger.
Yeah, the Tiger's gone bogey-free. No.
The other results from the weekend, obviously Sergio Garcia won... in Singapore, so he took $1 million there, and Tommy Fleetwood, as we know, won in Abu Dhabi in fine fashion. 30 on the way in. We'll touch on that in a second. Other tweets. George says, "Hi guys, love the podcast." At Golf Weekly OTB is our new Twitter handle. Would it be possible to do a feature on who you think will make the European Ryder Cup team soon? We'll see. It's not doesn't sound overly exciting, but we'll have a look.
Well, I have six definites: Rory, Sergio, Rose, Stenson, Ram, Fleetwood.
Okay, there you go, George. That's it for now. We'll come back to that topic. Yeah. It just feels a bit premature to do it just yet. Ian Swan, friend of the pod here, lads. Willett wins in Dubai 2016 and wins the Masters in April. Sergio wins in Dubai last year, wins the Masters in April.
Fleetwood.
So
this week.
Oh, this week. Sorry.
So he says Rory McIlroy will win this week. Dot dot dot. Just saying. Victoria Tediora, friend of the show, showed us a video hitting a few shots under the flight path to Reagan Washington National.
Reagan.
He was the president of America at one stage.
Very, very calm. Very
Ronnie.
Popular.
Ronnie Reagan.
Ronnie Reagan. Donald Reagan was a member of his administration. Confusing.
She's a very nice swing.
She says, any tips to improve my swing, lads?
Does she?
Serious.
We have no tips to improve that swing. You're better than all of us. Fergal O'Shea also retweeted a Padraig Harrington tweet. Did you see this?
No.
Harrington tweeted...
I did see this.
Fergal says, we need to talk about this. And Harrington tweeted photo, which I'll kind of hold up to camera, but... You know, you get the general gist. There we are. It's just a giant pile of gloves from Harrington there. And he was just showing the gloves he had went through in the off season.
Sorry, zoom in on his search history there as well, will you?
This is not like... just incognito. Okay.
That's very good.
So a lot of gloves is the short version from Harrington, as you might expect. Let's move on and talk about Rory.
No, just before we do...
Come on. Sorry, I was only in the middle of a sweet link.
You were, I know.
For the love of Jesus.
It's so unprofessional of me. I just wanted a shout out.
It's not a generous piece of broadcasting on your part there.
It really wasn't. It wasn't. I apologise.
Like the podcast was not finished.
No.
He's thought about this for days.
I was a bit nervous because I didn't want to forget this.
Oh, right, okay.
So... We have...
What do you want to confess?
A listener, Oisin in Seattle.
Okay, Oisin. Sounds Irish.
Yeah, whose sister, Tyrone, I know. And she was amazed. She was like, oh my God, I didn't realise that you do the golf podcast that my brother loves so much. So he's a friend of the pod in Seattle. So I just thought it'd be nice to kind of acknowledge, hey, Oisin.
Do we know much about... You haven't met him? You just met his sister?
No, I know his sister. His sister used to work in a place where he used to DJ years ago.
Right, okay.
Where'd you DJ?
In Rira for years.
Didn't know that.
Mm. If you want to DJ'd weddings, all sorts.
Wow.
You did.
I did.
I used to do all the time.
Well, I used to do more club DJ. Okay. Not to, you know.
But in the boom years, you weren't averse to taking $2,000 for a wedding.
I did a wedding in Luttrellstown Castle where I DJ'd for like 12 minutes because the band ran over and I still got paid the full whack.
Whew. Yeah. But I think they had paid you for your time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was sitting around listening to a band play crap covers.
Come on now. Can I move on?
Yeah, please. Sorry.
No.
Any other requests? No, that's it. It was worth it.
Yeah. So, something along the lines of what I was about to say, Rory, Tiger, whatever. Let's talk Rory and Tiger, Nathan. So, can we start with Rory this morning? The story in Dubai is Jamie Donaldson is the leader on 10 under.
Had a chance of a 59. If he birdied the last two holes, he would have had a 59.
Right. Okay, that's impressive stuff. It looks like the scoring conditions were good because you've David Horsey and Anthony Wall 9 under, Tyrrell Hatton 8 under, and then Rory McIlroy part of a 5-man chasing pack on 7 under. So a 65 for Rory leaves him 7 under. And I should mention Paul Dunne is 6 under. Bogey free.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on for the Lee Trevino here.
Oh, yeah.
Birdied 1, 2, 4, 11, 13, 15, 18. Very nice. So... Rory's feeling good. Is there some audio of Rory we're going
to
hear from?
More related to in prep for this week. So this is...
Oh, this is in before the round. Okay. Have we got Rory speaking here? Great. Here's Rory before he shot that 65.
Physically feel really good. No ill effects from last week. You know, I've upped the workload a little bit and feel good. Look, even with any sort of injury that you're coming back from, you're always just keeping an eye on it and managing it and... I've done a good job with that over the past few weeks, and we all get little aches and pains and niggles here and there, and just sort of manage them the best we can. But you know, my body feels really good, so I'm happy with that. You know, I've tried to really focus on the process and not really be results driven in any way this year. Sometimes if you focus too much on the results, you start to try too hard and you start to get frustrated. So again, I viewed last week as a success, almost like a win for me, even though I didn't win the golf tournament. I thought if I had wrote down my goals for the week, I think I would have achieved basically every one of them. So that's the way I'm sort of going about this year. Just if I can focus on the things that I can control and if I do those well, I know that I'll have my fair share of chances to win golf tournaments.
Yeah, so 65. This is a course where he's won twice before. Likes it there. A lot of top five finishes. Said after the 65, he feels like he's way ahead of schedule here.
Mm. Okay, can you remind me, what was the nature of his injury exactly?
The rib, the cracked rib.
Yeah.
So it was a consistent rib injury for the last year.
Okay.
Which sort of curtailed his practice.
So now he's, yeah, so he's back and
you know,
he's
well, you know when you,
free.
I haven't, I don't think I've broken a rib. I badly bruised
No, I
ribs.
Have.
Yeah. I broke a rib,
oh, it's horrendous.
You can't do much.
No. Okay, so.
You just have to wait for it to be better.
So it's healed. Now, in a world where golfers say not much of anything ever when they speak, I thought that was interesting because he said all the right things. But then, like there's a guy who's on tour 10 years and he's like, oh, you know, this year I want to focus on like the journey rather than the result or whatever, which is all very kind of standard for process-driven sporting analysis. If I can control the things that I can, it's like there's something of the, I don't know what it is. I don't know why it kind of jars with me. And there's nothing in it. Like he's playing brilliantly. Yeah. He's way ahead of schedule. But there's something about it. I'm like, just tell us something real, will you?
But he also says, I want to win the Masters.
Yeah. Well, oh, wow.
I didn't take that from him. But I, like,
you can't put Rory in the golfer who doesn't tell us anything.
No, no, no.
Like,
I know.
But he
can't
said
be explosive
out,
in every
like,
interview.
Even the, I'm going to turn up at the tournaments a day earlier to give myself a better chance.
Yeah, okay.
So it's process driven, but it's also quite specific.
If there's one thing you can be harsh on Rory about, it's not his media dealings. He's the only interesting thing out there 90% of the time.
No, there's no doubt. I just thought there was some, I listened to that and I listened to it twice and I was going, there's something about it. It's like, there's a part of him that's like speaking like a rookie and yet he's a veteran of the tour now. 10 years. I don't know. I just feel it's like, are we back to that kind of thing where he's kind of saying the things that, there's an element of repetition about it. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm being unduly harsh.
Possibly.
But the rookie line is probably interesting in that maybe that's the way he feels. That's the sort of mindset he's tried to get into over the last 3.5 months is that I'm starting afresh. Let's get it almost, was it Darren Clarke or Poulter that sold all their Ferraris? You know, forget about my four majors already.
Okay, that makes months, that's interesting.
I'm going to go and I'm treating everything as if it's the first time. But his post-round interview again was interesting with that line of actually couldn't contain his excitement. He's like, I'm well ahead of time here.
This is all clicked
so much so we may have to he said we'll have to reassess. I presume it's just that they'll reassess his practice, not reassess playing 8 times between now and the Masters.
One so of that you don't peak too early.
Like his putting, like the last week, I thought on the Thursday there was a few problems with his putting. Like, there was nothing majorly wrong,
right.
But his putting today, he held what. 3 times off the green?
Yeah.
Again, the course was flawless. The conditions were perfect. Like, it's Rory down to the tee.
I watched him last week. I didn't watch it this morning, but I watched it last week, and he played very, very well. One of the things that was telling, though, was on the last, when he knew he wasn't going to win, but he made his birdie, and with Harry Diamond, there was genuine joy in him. Like, he was laughing. There was a sense of, like, not the kind of Rory of previous years where maybe it's just a bit kind of like, right, okay, well, I didn't win, so what does this mean? There was genuine, like, he seemed, I don't know, I can't read his mind, happy to be back, clearly happy with the way he's swinging, clearly happy with the way everything is going for him, but he was expressing that, and that I thought was nice. That was quite telling last week.
I see here on the back page of the Irish Independent, he's pictured with Niall Horan, who played in the Pro-Am
yesterday.
Yeah. And I didn't realise this. There's a picture of a very excited County Dublin teenager, Saoirse Lamb, who is second from the left in that picture there of Rory and Saoirse and Niall Horan. So she had her dream come true yesterday from Rush County Dublin when she teed it up with One Direction heartthrob. That's Niall Horan. And Rory McIlroy at the Omega Dubai Desert Classic. A 6 handicapper.
Oh, I should ride that. For sake. How old is she?
16, teenager. A 6 handicapper.
What a Vox Golf competition.
You took the words right out of my mouth. She entered a Vox Golf's Play Golf with Rory and Niall competition. How much are they paying Niall to do that?
So wait now a second.
Maybe it's a good...
Vox Golf is obviously heading up in the world.
Right.
Considering this time last year, their prize was come play with the lads from Golf Weekly out in Castleknock for 9 holes.
That's it.
To...
Did we do that, though?
Yes, we did, Joe.
Yeah.
That's why you're not in Dubai this week.
When did we do that?
You forgot.
Last rain. Remember it? Absolutely.
Oh,
remember. Stephen Brown was with us. Very good.
You've forgotten the little people.
That was miserable. Yo. That was miserable. That was awful. But that wasn't really with us. That was like a bunch of different 3 or 4 balls around the course.
True.
Most people wouldn't have seen us.
Yeah.
And that was a good day, but for the rain.
Oh, it was miserable.
Anyway, a 6 handicapper. She entered Vox Golf's Play Golf with Rory and Niall competition. Won a set of tailor-made irons. And the chance to join McIlroy, Horan... and stunning American professional Paige Spiranak in the prom. You wouldn't write that about a man. Would you call a man a stunning American
Well, you just called Niall Horan a heartthrob.
All right, fine. Fine. No, that's fair. So you would then.
I can't believe you think that they would be paying Niall Horan to play.
A huge fan of golf and Horan, the Dubliner's dream prize also included airfares and accommodation for two.
In Dubai, that's
it's
nice.
It's a hell of a prize.
Oh yeah, it's a great prize.
Okay, look, if she's allowed to be stunning, then Niall's allowed to be a heartthrob.
That's it. Niall flew there of his own expense and thought, I'm getting to play in the Pro-Am at Rory, mate.
I saw his swing the other day.
Any good?
It's not bad. It's a touch flat. But that's it's not bad at all. And it was with the driver. So
but he's not tall. So generally, shorter men tend to have flatter swings.
Yeah, Paul McGinley style.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I suppose it was good. I mean, I'd say he's got the best lessons coaching can buy, not least from young Rory.
I still think he's on a sponsorship deal. There is no way Niall is forking out to do that.
Niall, get in touch.
There's some deal. I mean, it's fine.
Maybe he has a nice Omega watch.
Maybe or maybe he's doing another. He's an appearance somewhere. Or like,
something. But know. Like, not a bad deal. Do you want to come it's out? A to brilliant the, deal. The sunshine in February or January and play some golf with Roy McIlroy. Yeah. Are there any other points we want to make about the Dubai desert?
How much do you read into the way Rory has started? Like, it was so easy for them last week. It's been so easy from today.
Yeah.
Like, does that just mean he's at a level where it's all coming quite easily, or are we still until it's the Masters and there's a bit of pressure
there
on?
There is that. I think, though, it's just a massive relief he has come out, and we've seen it before so many times. There's whatever the issue is, and it's a constant. Will he be ready? Can he get it right? There's so much to fix. Like, that he's now already in close to maintenance territory is phenomenal. Like, if he wins one or two before the Masters and... I don't know how it works in golf. Like, I understand from a football point of view, you don't want to peak too early from a fitness point of view. I don't know how it works in golf. I don't know how you maintain a peak. Do you do less on the range and stay fresh? Do you keep just doing what you're doing? I don't know how you maintain peaks in golf in the same way a football team, you can taper off training or tailor things from a fitness point of view. But the fact he's in maintenance territory is obviously better. But there's no guarantees is the other thing.
The problem for me is that it's... The evidence is so narrow. You pointed out he's won twice in Dubai.
Yeah.
His last nine starts in Abu Dhabi, he had eight top fives. He's never won, but eight top fives and one missed cut. Mm-hmm. So he has shown enormous consistency in the Middle East swing for the last 10 years. Like, unbelievable, come what may after that. So at the moment, all we know is that Rory is playing well in the Middle East, which is no surprise given his last 9 years.
But he has had bad Middle East times as well. Like,
not many.
No, the Nike equipment year was terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. Did he miss that year? He missed the cut in Abu Dhabi.
I don't know if he missed the cut or not, but it was just like, this isn't right.
So okay, so that's you're absolutely right. But my point is that at the moment, all we have is Rory plays well in the Middle East generally.
Sure.
He's played well so far. He's had a top... He finished third last week. He's had a good round today. He's very confident. He's happy to be pain-free. He's swinging it well. I still think we'll see. We'll see his putting. There's a question mark over his putting that has not yet been answered. Sure,
Riviera.
Riviera is...
Absolutely. And so, you know, it's like... And there's a part of us like, quick, let's rush to get excited about the upcoming season. I'm thrilled. But at the same time, it's just like, let's temper it.
I accept what you're saying, but I'm still excited. Tempering nothing.
Yeah.
So Riviera's on the horizon with Tiger Woods there as well is the big thing. Tiger tees off this evening. So what an amazing thing. We have Tiger Woods this evening to watch. By my estimation, I think he's out around 8:40 Irish time. I
can't wait.
This evening. So some of what he's saying, Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. He won his last major there. Won 8 times overall. So
can I hear from him?
Oh, can we?
We can.
Okay.
He's on the line.
Tiger Woods. Come in, Tiger.
Physically, you say you're much better than you were last year. Can you give us an idea of how you know it's that much better than it was last year?
Yeah, I have no more pain in my back. My back is fused. that wasn't the case last year. We're trying to manage the disc and the vertebrae. But it's all finished now. Now it's fused and... quality of life is infinitely better than it was last year at this point.
I was also watching all the press conference last night, and he was talking about just how his life has changed in that before he had to, the last number of years, he's had to manage how many swings he can make a week or a day, and now he says his buddies, I mean, who are...
Who are these mysterious... I don't know. It's a snuffleupagus, I think.
Jason Day.
oh, maybe. Well, he says, now my buddies will text me and say, want to play 18? Want to play 36? And he says, sure. So he says that means
he doesn't have a lot of time for his kids then.
Oh, come on.
It's a bit harsh, isn't it? He might have the kids 3 days a week.
Kids could be with him.
They could be. Caddy, come on. I said 7 iron.
Joint custody.
So it's unfair, Fionn.
Yeah, Fionn, come on.
You know I'm the biggest Tiger Woods fan here.
So he was saying that's been the biggest difference. He's playing a lot of golf. And said, I've got to start somewhere. I've got to get my game back. It's been a long time, a full year since I've played on tour. I want to hit shots and grind out scores. I've been looking forward to it. I've missed going out with my buddies, having some fun playing golf. I miss those days.
I say, make a comment like about him being father of the year. And Joe, every time Tiger Woods alludes to having friends, Joe goes,
I just don't know who they are.
You've got that Shane Ryan thing from a couple of years ago.
Shane Ryan said he
doesn't have any friends.
Well, Shane Ryan says that he often talks about the guys on tour, and Shane Ryan says that is not in keeping with how the others feel about Tiger.
He's a new man.
That's the old Tiger.
Hang on, who makes friends in their 40s?
Somebody who makes an effort, Joe.
Somebody makes an effort.
Someone like Fionn Wood, I wouldn't.
It's true. You barely made friends in your 20s.
Did you know Fionn 10 years ago?
Not really.
We've known each other eight, nine years maybe.
About that. Yeah. Coming up on our 10 year anniversary.
Fionn is open-minded enough that he was able to
make friends with a young
friends.
Man.
He needed someone to play golf at Killeen Castle with
him
weekdays.
I did.
And convinced me to join.
That's true.
I was a means to an end.
Do you know what's interesting again about that is the classic, he's saying nothing, but he's managing expectations.
Okay.
Because he's just talking about, basically what he's saying is I'm not pulling out of this injured. Mm-hmm. There's no WD next to my name.
Well, I mean, look, if that is the worst case scenario still for the foreseeable.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I think that says chances of a WD are slim to none. Yeah. What he's also saying is like, you know, my life is like your quality of life and all of that stuff. And there's the kind of the hungry cynic that goes, yeah, I'm not really worried about how you spend your afternoon. Just tell us about the golf, will you? How's the swing?
I don't know. I like knowing about his life.
Yeah, sure. No, but in this context right now, I want to know how you're swinging it. What's your target? Like Rory talked about, he sets his targets. I want to make the cut. Just make the cut and finish 23rd.
I do wish, actually, having watched last night, it's all this guff with Tiger of, you know, like the Tiger redemption of playing with his buddies and, you know, Tiger, your expectations and all the various things. And the questions are quite reverential, probably out of fear more than anything else. But I would love them to go, so what shot shape are you thinking?
Yeah,
What are your thoughts on, are you going to play that fade where you, I mean, you double-crossed yourself a lot in when we saw you previously.
Absolutely.
But who cares about that?
Me.
But of the tiger viewing public. So for Golf Channel, for the people who are covering golf and whose jobs are probably under threat, the boom is back.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Can we not serve Buttmasters?
Like ask him, I just don't feel there's enough of the golf. I want to know what he thinks about his game and how he's planning to attack courses. We didn't quite get that.
I have a tiger related stat, but just bear with me. What do Jeff Ogilvy, Justin Rose and Mike Weir all have in common?
Jeff Ogilvy, Justin Rose.
They've all won majors.
Mike Weir.
That is part of the answer. Yes, they've all won one major. They've each won 8 PGA events, including a major. Tiger has won 8 PGA events and one major at the one golf course.
Is this yet another stat to show how good Tiger Woods
is?
Yes. He was very good at golf.
I just had my fill of them.
No, but I'm just saying. It's
just nonstop.
Like,
this.
I never tire of these. He's like he's Babe Ruth. He's this outlier.
But nothing, no Tiger stat in the last 8 years has changed my sense that he was good. So what you're saying is, Fionn.
Sorry, I'm just making notes. Joe, sniggers at Tiger's friends, tired of his stats. I get it. Let's go.
Can I give you something more pertinent?
A once dominant player.
So you're saying he was very dominant.
No, I'm saying is that
he likes this golf course.
Mike Weir, well, maybe Mike Weir is kind of off the boil. Justin Rose is one of the top players in the world, and yet his total wins in the PGA Tour amount to the same amount of wins that Tiger's had on one golf course.
So you're saying Tiger Woods is better than Justin Rose?
No, I'm saying Tiger Woods is exponentially better.
I know. It is a fair point.
How many tournaments, though, has Tiger won on the European Tour?
More than most.
Justin Rose. Yeah, he has.
He has. Like, Tiger Woods'
majors alone means 14.
Well,
USPGA isn't. Oh, they're all co-sanctioned.
Yes.
So for a start, he's won 14.
Yeah.
My point is that I don't have the European Tour stats, but he's really high up. He's like top five.
Tiger's won more World Golf Championships than Dustin Johnson has won tournaments.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Any other Tiger stats? Because I just don't think people get the fact that he was good yet here.
No, but...
Tiger Woods won 14 majors.
Well, imagine when you're able to update all these stats.
Yeah.
That'll be the most exciting part.
Can I give you the favourites in the betting so we get a feel for what we're in for this evening?
Do, Joe.
Okay. John Rahm is justifiable 7-1 favourite. I'm looking forward to seeing Rahm.
Riviera.
This week. Tonight, tournament. Farmers Insurance Open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Riviera.
No, Torrey Pines.
Torrey Pines. Sorry. Good, jeez.
You were just faffing on about eight times.
Losing my mind.
Eight times.
I'm jet lagged. I was in Scotland.
Just step back in time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I went back 20 years. No, that's, sorry, Scotland. No, I'm joking.
Apparently, it's either Nicky Butt or someone else at Newcastle when they were over. Oh, I'd love to remember.
To our American listeners, this is a soccer reference.
One of the Newcastle players, when they arrived over to Carlton House for pre-season, asked if there was a time difference with England.
Okay. I mean, is that shocking to you?
At like 34, yeah.
Oh, was he 34?
Was that like it was a?
Veteran. Oh, he was a senior player.
Like one of the guys. Yeah, okay. Just you know. 7-1 is John Rahm. Ricky Fowler is second favorite, 11-1. We haven't talked much, Ricky. Hideki Matsuyama is 16-1. As is Justin Rose, 16-1.
Really good player, that.
Mark Leishman is 20s. Jason Day is 20. And then they reckon Tiger Woods is the next most likely man to win. Now, come on. Is Tiger Woods going to win?
No.
Will he finish top 10? That's the more interesting question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Will he make the cut? You see, that's the next step for, if we're taking, as you say, so the worst case scenario, the withdrawal is off the table.
Yeah.
What's the next step?
Miss cuts a possibility.
Like, miss cuts. How does he deal with miss cuts? How does everyone else and the hype machine around Tiger deal with Tiger making some cuts, missing some cuts, actually nothing very exciting happening?
Yeah, I mean,
it's all, you want all or nothing.
Yeah, he has to make the cut for sure. I think top 25 is.
I think.
I think he's just going to sneak in there, but only just
23rd. That's,
he'll have a good run
23rd
Friday afternoon where everyone will get a bit excited.
Yeah.
And then it'll just sort of
Sunday will be.
Once the ball speed is still up, that's the first thing I want to see when we watch.
Claude Harmon told the Golf Channel that he had seen Woods play in Florida, and I'll read you the quote. Tiger looks unbelievable. The first time I've seen it up close, I was blown away at how good it was. I'd be shocked if Tiger's not winning this year, and shocked if he doesn't give himself a chance at Augusta. Claude Harmon.
Wow.
You know what I mean? He's not, like, Claude Harmon's reputation is based on him at least being in the realm of what's real.
No, he can watch a guy in a range and
Yeah. So for when Claude Harmon says that, you're
he was playing with Obama.
He was. That's
Woods.
Right.
Yeah.
Reading about his practice round yesterday, he's definitely back playing normal golf.
PGA standard
golf. I think he went around at 72.
Okay.
Missed a few putts, but you know, missed a few fairways here and there. But he's just playing normal golf.
Yeah.
Then you wonder, like, if his mentality kicks back in and that takes him up to the next level again.
Gets a whiff of adrenaline.
Like, I don't even think since, was it 2013, he had the last big
five
year?
Five times in 2013.
Five times. Like, since then, of any of the comebacks, has he ever played normal golf?
No.
Was there one stretch?
There wasn't a stretch. I mean, he did okay 1 year at Augusta, but there was no...
Oh, yeah. Was that the year he hit the...
That was the chipping yips, wasn't it?
No, that was following when he had bad chipping yips and then came back again at Augusta and the chipping was okay. And he played kind of standard Augusta golf. I think he might have been top 20 or 30. He was popping up here and there on the Sunday footage, but you know, once every six holes.
Only because the network realises the power of him, so they keep dragging the cameras to show him.
But I think you're right. I think since 2013, it's hard to think of a stretch where he was like a standard PGA Tour player.
Good point.
So it's Nathan's point.
Good point.
That was a good point.
Yeah, no, it's a good point.
Just, you looked at me and I thought...
Thanks, Joe.
It's just you have the thing in your ear. So you automatically... Doesn't he carry an air of authority? He's got the white shirt and the little...
Oh, yeah.
The TV kind of...
His TV is Joe Malloy.
TV's Joe Molloy. Yeah.
The Six Nations live on TV3, 3rd of February. We start with Wales, Scotland, followed first by the big
I've
one.
Seen, first time I've seen him excited all day.
4:15, Ireland, France, Joe Schmidt against the newly appointed Jacques Brunel.
Are you nervous?
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Are you nervous?
Jesus, I wish we could have asked him a week ago if he knew who the French coach was.
Shitting myself.
And again, for all of our non-Irish listeners.
I was in doing rehearsals this morning.
Were you?
Yeah.
Was it more professional than
the,
this?
Hence the shirt.
Who was taking
a tie on and a jacket.
Who was taking the... Oh, don't wear a tie.
Wasn't that jacket, was it?
I don't have to. I want to.
You want to look...
I want
to look older.
Business. You're no, bringing a business
not look
style.
Older. I don't like the open top thing. I don't think it looks good. Personally, I don't think it looks good. With a jacket, I prefer...
What did Tom McGurk wear?
Well, then...
Do the opposite. No, for our non-Irish listeners, Joe is going to front the Six Nations rugby coverage
that's
on TV3.
That's an exclusive.
The reason you're not doing it is you don't look into the camera when you're talking...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I used to do TV years ago.
What was your biggest TV thing?
My biggest TV was No Frontiers.
I did that
for 2 years.
Did you do that with Catherine Thomas?
I did.
Oh, yeah. That's a good gig.
Would you go and see Places Together or was it separate packages?
No, separate. Yeah.
And was it enjoyable?
I loved it.
Right.
It was great. And
see, Tommy Bowe and Vogue Williams were doing something there recently.
Mm. No comment. most travel shows are crap. I didn't think... My travel show was good because I was on it. I came on very late on, like I'd been on for 8 years. So I was really thrilled to be a part of it.
Yeah.
But it was a good travel show in the sense that they gave time to each story. One of the problems, the law has changed. they changed the law. So a lot of, like, you know, you get support from industry. Like, because otherwise you make a travel
freebies.
Show.
Freebies.
Like, as in Aer Lingus will fly out.
Yeah, like the airline will fly out or the hotel. And now you have to make that advertorial side of it very, very clear. In the old days, you didn't have to as much.
Okay. How would that affect things?
Well, it doesn't, in the sense of like a smart editorial policy on a travel show is if, let's say, for example, some resort hotel is going to put you up, you don't go on television and then go, this is the best hotel you will find. What you will say is name the good things about the hotel, which are true, and then just leave it at that.
Should you not declare this hotel is putting us up very kindly?
Yes, you do now. You have to by law, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah. And then, so how much TV time, if you, like New York is probably a difficult example. Give me a location and how much television time you would need to do a pretty
If you were to do an 8 minute story on TV, which is huge, you 3 days of filming, but you start at like 7 a.m. and you go on until late night, like
for 8 minutes TV.
For 8 minutes TV.
Is that quite expensive TV?
It's unbelievably expensive. Yeah. Travel television is very, very expensive.
And popular.
Yeah, but I'm old enough to remember you don't remember the holiday show.
Kind of.
Program on BBC, do you?
Yeah, sort of do.
That's what I had when I was a kid. And so, but it was, and it was such a thrill to do because there was a budget, there was a really good producer, there was a really good director, there was a good, so the scripting was good around it and you worked together to figure out the best way to tell the story. And I thought it was, I loved it. And also you get to travel and you get to go to amazing
Who's
places.
Who's the best travel presenter you've seen?
I think Catherine is still the best.
Really?
Yeah.
What's she got?
What she has is that she is natural on air, on camera. Mm-hmm. Like she's, like, and I know her, she doesn't kind of turn on, she doesn't do that kind of, like the TV presenter who's like in a sullen vat of depression and all of a sudden the light comes on and they're like, hey! Like Catherine's just the way she is. So she could emote that naturalness and an authentic sense of enthusiasm for a destination. And she was just brilliant. And also as well, it's like she was like unbelievable energy, like incredible energy.
I do remember during the Irish Open in Killarney, maybe 2010, that sort of time, walking into a pub late on a Saturday night in Killarney, Catherine Thomas was in there holding court, singing songs.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. That's Catherine.
Oh, right, okay.
She was brilliant. And so she'd be out like, I was going to say, she'd be out all night. She's now, you know, expecting a child and she's tempered her life.
I was asking that question last night watching the telly.
Were you?
Now you've confirmed it.
Oh, yeah. She's expecting a child.
Okay. What was she on last night?
Operation Transformation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But she would be like, what she had the sense of, so 3 a.m, we've had the dinner and she's out and she's holding court and it's all brilliant and getting on brilliantly with everybody. And then the next morning at 7 o'clock, she's like bright as a button, ready to...
Oh, I can't do that. I hate those people.
She's amazing at that.
Yeah, I'm a nightmare.
She was brilliant.
Shane, who's doing the sound, is looking at it going, you know, we're very tight on time and you boys are talking some amount of shite that has nothing to do with golf.
I've literally forced a delay in an interview with Gregory Rachenko's lawyer for the last 7 minutes.
Who's Gregory Rachenko?
He's the whistleblower on the Russian doping situation.
You watch Icarus?
Can we talk to Gregory Rachenko's
Gregory,
lawyer?
Gregory.
You know what we need to start doing, and I wish I had got the clip of it.
Dustin Johnson post-round interviews. His post-round interview on Sunday after Abu Dhabi was peak Dustin Johnson.
Really?
Dustin, week started very well. Obviously, it faded. You know, it's a disappointment. It is what it is, I guess.
It is what it is.
Just got to go and practice a bit more. And so what's the plan? You know, trying to get ready for the Masters. Very excited. Yeah, I think my game's good shape. Yeah, just got to keep it going.
Do you think Dustin...
Thanks, Dustin.
Thanks, Dustin.
Do you think Dustin's the kind of guy who would ever ask, what's the time difference between here and home? No.
No, I don't think he cares.
No way.
Dustin just wonders how it's daytime for so long.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been the longest day.
Now it's June 6th. Why won't
the night come round? Oh, dear.
Okay.
When was the longest day?
21st of June or July?
June.
21st of December is the shortest.
June 6th, 1944. It's the longest day.
God.
D-Day landings.
You're a sap.
That's what they call it. The longest day.
Of all the terrible things you've said today, that was without doubt the worst.
That is just crap.
Sorry.
What is the actual longest day?
21st of June.
Okay. And 21st of December, shortest. Right.
Wow.
What?
Time, no time difference between Ireland and England. It's an education, this show.
Oh, absolutely. So, and Scotland as well.
Next week is Riviera with Tiger there and Rory there. Am I right in saying
two
that?
2 weeks in a row. Is Tiger?
Or is it 2 weeks?
I think it's 2 weeks away, yeah.
Damn. I'll just quickly Google, so I don't want to give people...
Do quickly Google.
Riviera.
Are you here next
obviously
week?
Our listeners rely exclusively on us for all manner of golf detail.
Who's here next week?
Not me. I'll be on Skype.
Actually, I don't think I'm here next week either.
Well, big time.
Are you big time next week?
Rehearsals.
Oh, rehearsals. Is this not a rehearsal? Maybe if you treated me and Fionn with a bit more respect, this could be a perfect rehearsal.
I echo Nathan's sentiment.
I don't think the last 10 minutes will do me any good on TV3.
It's banter.
Yeah, I think of rehearsals. And I don't, so I'm not in Wednesday or
Who
Thursday.
Who steps in for Ron O'Gara during rehearsals?
Today it was Dan.
Okay. Dan.
Joel's on top of all the staff.
Can we try and get Peter Lorre in next week?
We'll try and get Peter Lorre in, yeah.
Grant, we should, to get his thoughts on Tiger. We've got to do one next week.
Yeah. And so they've seen behind the wall yet again to see the production meeting that is Golf Weekly.
It'd be funny if the next time we actually talk about this is next Thursday morning.
Okay, sorry for the last 6 or 7 minutes if we've wasted your time. At Golf Weekly OTB. So Tiger out tonight, Rory hopefully contending over the weekend, and we will very hopefully be here next week. Good luck. All my exes wear Rolexes, but I reside right here in Dardanelle, all picket now. Little JD starter kit right here.